Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
All right, thanks very much and welcome, everybody. It is just about 12 minutes after 12 on this Friday afternoon as we get closer to the weekend. Andrea Haines is in the studio. She's the editor for Blue Sky Innovation and comes by most Fridays. Andrea, nice to see you. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for, you know, returning. I don't know what we did last week.
But always happy to be here, no matter what drama we've had the week before.
So I had a great night last night. I have had a chance now for the second year in a row to MC the pitch night for the James Tyree Award. And I know you know about the award.
Yeah, definitely.
It's put on by the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, and they recognize businesses that are doing well and also but are doing good. And so we heard from 12 different companies, and at the end of last night, we announced the top two winners, but it's the top six who actually advanced to the next round. And eventually, the top one will get a prize of $50,000. So it's quite a deal, and I'm happy to say that right now, we're going to announce the final six, the six who advanced. Environmental Analysis is a company that works to remediate asbestos, lead, and mold, things like that. They gave a presentation last night. GMA Construction, Gabriel, the CEO there, was very inspirational. They move on to the second round. There's this company called The Ink Factory, which I know that you know, right?
Yeah, we've written about them at the Tribune. We've done a video on them. They do this cool visual note-taking.
So there could be like,
that's really
actually,
cool.
There could be someone sitting in the studio now, and as we talk, they're almost drawing a collage or something of not of us, but of what we talk about. So a different way to digest information.
Exactly.
Ink Factory moves on. Landmark Pest Management, which is interesting because they are science-based and sustainable. So they're not spreading as much poison around buildings, schools, and things like that.
Killing stink bugs, I hope.
Killing stink bugs without squeezing them so we don't smell them. Midwest Broadcasting makes the cut, so they move on. And also Uptown Underground. Do you know Uptown Underground?
I don't think I do.
They do burlesque shows in Uptown.
Oh, neat.
Which is pretty cool. And they also help out with a lot of charities there. So congratulations to those six companies, the semifinalists in the James Tyree Award competition. And we'll have a few of them in from time to time and certainly talk to the winner when that's announced in June. Okay, you brought in a story that has been up in Blue Sky about the biometric law in Illinois, which is fascinating to me. You know, Senator Durbin brought it up with Mark Zuckerberg this week about how tough Illinois' law was and how good it was, but it turns out maybe it's outdated.
Yeah, well, that's the argument by those who want to make some changes to it. So Illinois had a really strict biometric law. That's come up in the news because occasionally there are things that get done from like Nest security systems that recognize your face to like fun Google things that Illinois does not participate in because our law around capturing any of this information, which could be a facial scan, a fingerprint scan, a scan of your iris.
Like
Illinois has been very strict about
that. Best example was when the Google one where they would take your face and match it to a work of art. You couldn't do it in Illinois because of this biometric law. That's the law that sort of interrupted that.
Exactly. Exactly. Illinois has been trying to protect people from having that information because, you know, if your credit card gets hacked, you can get a new credit card. If your iris gets hacked, yes, you can't get a new eye, right?
But the idea was that when the law was written, the technology has changed a lot, right? And employers are using it a lot more for legitimate reasons. So there's a move to update it, but it's not altogether without opposition.
Exactly. So it's in process because employers are using it now. They may use it to see when you scan into work and monitor your time and things like that. And they're getting sued over it. And so people who want to change the law say it's a 10-year-old law. Let's update it to allow for, you know, what companies are really using it for and make some changes. So we'll see how that plays out.
The privacy advocates say we don't want any changes.
Privacy advocates like having it because it is, you know, protective
it's
of
kind of a model,
of some of our very personal data.
All right. So there's that. Uber is a company in the news as well, and the new CEO is announcing some new safety measures.
Yes, Uber announced that they would start doing annual criminal background checks on their drivers in the United States. Exactly right. To which you kind of say, as opposed to not doing that, like, you know, it's kind of like, really? They were not doing that? That's maybe a little bit alarming. So they will do annual criminal background checks, and they've also hired a company that will monitor for them criminal arrests of their drivers. You know, they've had cases, including in Chicago, where drivers have been charged with crimes against their passengers, right? Pretty much the worst thing that you could have happen. So they're trying to tighten up on that.
They, in reading this story in Blue Sky, 15 million rides a day. So here's what I was thinking when I read that. It kind of occurred to me, you know, if there's an Uber driver attack in Schenectady, it becomes national news.
Yes.
If there's a taxi driver attack in Schenectady, no one finds out about it because it's not, because that cab company isn't a national cab company in our, you know, in front of our consciousness or things like that.
Yes.
So it's almost an unfair, it's almost an unfair standard for Uber.
There is a heat of attention on them, certainly. I think they probably do deserve it, and they deserve watching. The company would say, much like you said, that anytime you have X number of people, there are going to be crimes among that group of people. They're going to be, you know, whatever kind of incidents. So
did I just become an Uber apologist?
I think you did. I think you did a little bit. But I'm with you a little bit, too, because I do feel like they're also pioneering a lot of things that will prove to be interesting, not to say they don't need to be kept in line in the meantime.
Yeah, and I don't mean to apologize for them, but I guess just to offer some perspective, if you hear something that happens in, you know, Des Moines, we're hearing about every ordeal that Uber has to deal with.
Yes, the spotlight is hot.
Okay, we have to save time for this.
I know, we can't miss the story.
Mayo Chup. Now, this is a marketing story, really, more than a bad condiment story, isn't it?
It's a condiment innovation story. Call it that.
Tell me about Mayo Chup.
Yeah, so Kraft Heinz has invented a product called Mayo Chup, which if you sound it out, you can imagine what that is. It's a mayonnaise ketchup hybrid.
Right.
And I hate to exaggerate when delivering business news, but I would sooner die than eat Mayo Chup, I think. What do you think?
It does not sound good to me at all.
Yeah.
Ketchup and horseradish, person. I can do that.
That sounds good.
But not this. And so, but what they're doing is they said, well, we'll introduce it if we get 500,000 people signing up for it.
Exactly.
So they got all these people to sign petitions and get invested in it, right? And now they're saying, well, we're not tied to the name Mayo Chup. We could change that if people have better alternatives. So again, they're getting people to buy into this product before the foul stuff even makes it into the plastic bottles.
Absolutely. And it does remind you of the startup world where you do a Kickstarter, you know, you kind of do something to test the market and also to kind of gin up a little excitement about it before you introduce the product. So that's exactly what they've done here. And they have gotten more than the number of people that they needed to say do it.
So. I learned something every time I read a Blue Sky article.
Excellent.
And what I learned this time was that people in Utah actually already eat this and they call it fry sauce.
Yeah, and I think people do it informally, right? Like people dip fries in ketchup, in mayonnaise, sorry, and like sometimes mix the two, and I'm like, cringing as I say it.
That's a low country thing. The Dutch and the Belgians do that all the time, man.
Yeah. If it's nice, like garlicky, aioli kind of thing, you might kind of get me there, but mayo out of the,
So mayo chup is not on your list?
Not on my list for lunch.
Green pickle relish, do you do that? The bright green pickle relish?
Only on a Chicago dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
Andrea Haynes. So real quick, what's in Red Eye this weekend?
So Red Eye has a walking tour of Ravenswood.
We
do a series of neighborhood guides, so occasionally we'll have a full neighborhood guide, and this week we have one on Ravenswood.
Very funny. A buddy of mine who's moving into town was just walking around the studios, and we were talking in the green room about... he's looking to where to live, and we mentioned Ravenswood.
Oh, good. So. I'm leaving you a few copies.
We'll
and, you know, the mayor lives there, so the highest honor, I guess you could say.
That's a selling point.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
All right, this is not a weekend to go outside. We keep waiting for the weekends to go outside. This is not going to be one of them. Thankfully, Front Row Phyllis is on a phone line. Front Row Phyllis, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. I'm a little bummed about sleet and rain and snow and anything you can imagine. Luckily, you're here to talk to about some shows in town this weekend, right?
Yeah, we have some indoor stuff, and I think it's going to be the last couple weeks of just indoor stuff, and I just predict great spring weather.
You better be right. Okay, so this has been, this has been like the year of Jesus Christ Superstar, hasn't it? I know it tours around at Easter time, but there was the live performance. I think there might have been a show already in town once, and now it's coming to the Lyric?
Yeah, so it's never been at the Lyric, and of course, it runs April 27th through May 20th, and of course, it's Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice's production, and you have an all-star cast, and so it's going to be outstanding. It's, you know, there's one of the guys is a three-time Grammy winner. There's a soul singer, Broadway and Chicago-based artist. So you definitely want to check it out. over April 27th through May 20th.
All right, check that out, the Jesus Christ Superstar. And when you think of Jesus Christ, sometimes Kevin Hart comes up.
He does. Isn't that funny, that nice little correlation between the two?
Yeah.
Well, he's in town, and he is here this weekend. He is here from the tomorrow and on Sunday. This is his Irresponsible tour. You know, his last tour grossed over $100 million worldwide.
That's the thing. Seriously, I mean, here's a comedian, and he is performing at the United Center, a couple nights at the United Center. That's a lot of butts in the seats.
Yeah, it's a lot of us in the seats. And I do want to tell you that no cell phones are allowed to the show. So that's a new thing some of the comedians are doing. So before and during the show, you cannot use your cell phone. In some cases, they actually make you put it into like a little vault and you get them at the end of the night. So I'm not 100% what they're going to do here, but you cannot use your cell phone before or during the show.
All right. Yep. And so you can't order, like you'd be ordering out when the show's about half over. You'd order dinner at the West Loop or what?
Exactly. Nah, they're not really wanting you to do that.
I don't know too much about the Latino Film Festival. What's that about?
So the Latino Film Festival runs now through April 19th. It is actually the 34th annual film festival, and over 100 films from Latin America, Brazil, South America, Spain, Portugal, and here in the U.S. are shown during that couple-week period. It's wonderful. The films can be seen at different theaters and venues throughout the city. So you just want to go to the International Latino Cultural Center, and you get a full listing of where the films are going to be.
Very good. It's really
a great thing to check out.
Yeah. One more thing on the list is South Pacific at the Drury Lane Oakbrook.
Yeah, South Pacific is running now through June 17th. And Drury Lane Oakbrook is just a great venue to see this. And, of course, we know, you know, more timely than ever, the Rodgers and Hammerstein landmark that proves that, you know, the backdrop of a tropical paradise can't always shelter its people from World War II.
What's your favorite song from South Pacific?
Oh, sure. Now you put me on the spot.
You've got to have a dream. You've got to have a dream. That's the song.
You do have to have a dream.
All right,
I know your favorite song.
Where do people find more information, Phyllis?
Just go to firmophyllis.com.
Have a great weekend. I'll see you inside.
You too.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And it is 12:38 here on this Friday afternoon on the Business Lunch. Thanks very much for tuning in as we sit in the Allstate Showcase studio. We expect to talk to Tom LaSalle. He's the CEO of LaSalle Network and is with us most Fridays. It's funny, we're going to talk about Gen Z. This is the first full Gen Z class, I should say, graduating from college and entering the workforce. And they did a survey over at LaSalle Network about what the college students are expecting and what sort of jobs might be waiting for them. So we'll talk to Tom about that in just a second or so, if we can connect. While I'm waiting, I know I mentioned this yesterday, but anytime there's a downtime, I'd like to bring up the fact, you know, I work with Steve Bertrand Travel as well, and we do four trips with WGN Radio every year, and the fourth one this year is a trip to England. Brian Noonan is going to host it. I had a trip myself to England that leaves October 5th, sold out really quickly, so then we asked Brian to host another one, and his will leave October 11th. So same itinerary as mine. You can see it at WGNradio.com. Leaves October 11th, 10 days, I think, and you go to London, 2 days in London in the beginning and 2 days at the end, visits to Bath, Stonehenge, the Cotswolds, Stratford-upon-Avon, all of that really cool itinerary, and it is at SteveBertrandTravel.com, or just call me, 847-606-6065. I haven't looked at the numbers in the last day, but I know we do have some spots yet, and Brian's a great guy. You'll have a great time with him, so check that out. Hopefully you can join us in London and England coming up next October. Waiting for Tom Kimball. I don't know if we have any idea. We're waiting for him to call because usually he comes in on studios. And, you know, on Friday, he's very social over the LaSalle Network. So he's probably got something going on. Fridays also is the day that we do the number of the week. And the number of the week this week is 15 million, as in 15 million games. The number of units of Grand Theft Auto 5 sold in 2017 is 15 million games. Did you buy one? Years after its release, it was out first in 2013, the game still number 6 on the best-selling video game list for last year. And since its release now, the game, Grand Theft Auto 5, has sold 90 million copies. That puts it at over $6 billion in sales and makes Grand Theft Auto probably the most commercially successful single media property of all time. Forget about the movies, forget about records, albums, things like that. $6 billion. Grand Theft Auto 5 is probably the most successful media release of all time. So there's that. All right, it is 12:41. We'll take a break with the Wintrust Business Minute here and check in all the latest from Wall Street and all of that coming up on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing the news, providing input, and breaking down the stories that matter to the world of business. The results are in. Cranes just released their annual survey of the best places to work in Chicago. They break it down by company size, small, medium, large, companies for women, and companies for baby boomers. The survey looked at average salaries, voluntary turnover rates, executive male-to-female ratios, and many other factors. And these companies covered industries from the world of transportation, marketing technology, construction, staffing, and plenty more. If you're thinking of changing jobs, this might be the list for you. Speaking of changing jobs, Chicago Sears Stores employees might be looking elsewhere as well, because the last Chicago store closes its doors this July, marking the end of an era to department stores. Sears has been headquartered in Hoffman Estates for more than 100 years, with more than 260 locations around the country. This is one of the biggest examples of the impact the online shift for shoppers and retailers can have on companies. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Back to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It's 12:49 here on the Allstate Showcase Studio in 720 WGN on this Friday afternoon. All right, let's talk plastic surgery, the business of plastic surgery. On a phone line is Dr. Gregory Wiener, who is a member of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons and a surgeon at the Art of Plastic Surgery. Dr. Wiener, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right, the Art of Plastic Surgery, that's, I'm assuming, here in Chicago or in the Chicago area?
Right, that's in here in Chicago on Northwest Side on Cumberland Avenue.
Excellent. Okay, I don't know if you heard much of the chatter before the business numbers, but we're talking a little bit about traditional plastic surgery, and I suppose that maybe what we think of as traditional plastic surgery is no longer nearly as popular as it used to. That's kind of moved beyond that or progressed beyond that. Is that a correct read or incorrect read?
Well, Steve, I think it's partially correct. I mean, certainly the top procedures like breast augmentation and liposuction, they continue to have legs, so to speak. They're still increasing, but a lot of procedures we are seeing a dip. And if you look at the American Society of Plastic Surgery numbers, the numbers that are collected every year from surgeons, you know, throughout the country, you are seeing some small dips year over year, 2016 versus 2017, and in some of these procedures, such as facelifts, you're seeing huge dips if you look at the comparison to year 2000.
So
facelifts are down more significantly.
Is that
some of the other procedures?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but is that because there are alternatives available, or people are just sort of living with what they have?
No, I think it's the first one there. The alternatives have become a big deal. Those alternatives, and especially in the realm of facial rejuvenation. You know, we're looking at Botox use that has gone up 800% since the year 2000, and we're looking at injectable fillers, commercially prepared fillers, that have gone up 300% since the year 2000, and those are huge numbers.
Are those procedures more reliable? I mean, you know, I think of the people with that. I'm sure every one of your facelifts has been great, doctor. But sometimes, you know, you can tell. And I just wonder if the injections are a little more reversible or reliable.
Well, you know, what we're seeing with the injectables is, it's not the same thing. You know, you're looking at a less invasive procedure with a lower downtime and a lower overall cost. Although if you look at it over time, the cost may balance out to what a surgery costs or even exceed it. But I mean, you know, we're looking at younger patients who want smaller improvements or just starting to see the signs of aging. And I'm also looking at my more middle-aged patients who, you know, used to get a facelift, but now we bridge them further with injectables and Botox or fat transfer in order to put off that eventual surgery.
Yeah,
that's what we're seeing.
I would imagine if it's less invasive, a little easing into it a little bit more, that it might open up your customer base to more people who
exactly.
would go for it.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. I mean, you know, it's less intimidating. You know, you're kind of testing the water, so to speak, when you start to get into this stuff, and you can do it. You can do this for years and really, you know, kind of revolumize things. You know, improve things on some level, and again, you know, you're not looking at huge expenditures, and for more and more people, you know, even more importantly, you're not looking at that downtime because you know time is a big factor for all of us.
Right.
And you know, not having, you know, I mean, it, a lot of
well,
people
I mean, look, there are a lot of people, a lot of people who have that habit for, I don't mean this in a judgmental way, but for a vain reason. I mean, you know, you want to look better. It's a little vanity. And if you have to sort of walk around with a bruised face for a week or 2 weeks and try to conceal that, that's just not a comfortable thing to do.
That's true too. And, or take time off from work, you know, as well.
Now, you know, a question just popped in and this is kind of off the track, but I remember reading years ago that it was becoming more common for parents to give their daughters plastic surgery procedures for high school graduation or more likely college graduation, things like that. Is that still out there or is that kind of always a myth to begin with?
Maybe in some neighborhoods or areas, but I mean, I never really experienced that kind of thing, and I always thought that was kind of a dangerous, you know, type of thing. Anyway, I mean, you know, plastic surgery is surgery, and it's not the type of thing where you give it like a graduation present. I mean, it's something that that needs to be, you know, thought out, discussed, and it's a little frivolous to be, you know, to be doing that as a graduation present. I think it's reasonable for some younger patients to have plastic surgery in some situations if there is some major issue that's causing anxiety and as long as the family's behind it, but as a rule, giving it as a graduation present, probably not the best idea. And I really haven't seen that in my practice to any significant degree.
Let me ask you this. We're talking to Dr. Gregory Weiner, who is a plastic surgeon, member of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, works at the Art of Plastic Surgery, surgeon there. It's also been my understanding that dermatologists are moving in on your turf. Is that true, and have they hurt business?
No, I don't think so, Steve. I think, number one, I think there's enough business out there for everyone. I mean, you know, plastic surgeons are still the benchmark as far as surgery goes. I mean, I think, you know, dermatologists who do a cosmetic business, they're perfectly qualified to do Botox and to do fillers and light chemical peels, light facial peels, laser treatments, and things like that. And they're skin doctors. I mean, they can do that kind of thing. But I think when you're talking about moving tissue around in a surgical way, I mean, that's kind of where the plastic surgeon should really be taking over. And you're right in a sense that some dermatologists do more surgery. Example, I'd say probably leave it to the board certified plastic surgeons.
All right, doctor, we just have less than a minute left, but tell me what's coming. What's next? What's the future of plastic surgery?
Well, I mean, fat is big, Steve, and fat is being used more and more, and we're using it to revolumize the face. We're using it to revolumize parts of the body. The stem cell issue is probably the next big thing, just like it is in a lot of branches of medicine. These cells that exist in the fat that can differentiate into any type of other cell, such as muscle, blood vessel, and things like this, and they can also stimulate the growth of other cells. And so we're currently looking at ways to concentrate that stem cell harvest and add it to fat to make it supercharge it, so to speak. Currently doing that in your office is not technically feasible or FDA approved, but I think that's the next big one, that you're going to see more stem cell use and more fat revolumization used in plastic surgery.
Dr. Gregory Wiener, the art of plastic surgery. Thanks very much for talking to us today. I appreciate it.
Steve, I appreciate it.